Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Tesla Time News.
Episode 431.
On Now You Know. Well, we kind of called it.
We said that Delaware Judge Kathleen McCormick would rule in the Elon Musk compensation case after the election.
But we thought that if Trump won, she would rule in favor of paying Elon what the Tesla shareholders and the Tesla board of directors voted twice to do.
Instead, what we got wrong is that Judge McCormick is dumber than we thought.
She overruled us Tesla shareholders.
Because who cares what we think?
And instead, she declined to reinstate Elon's compensation package from 2018.
Instead, though, she thought that we shareholders should pay the lawyers who brought this case against Tesla.
How much, you ask?
$345 million.
Yeah, let's pay for legal fees for a guy who owned 9 shares of Tesla.
Judge McCormick wrote in her ruling, even if a stockholder vote could have a ratifying effect, it could not do so here.
And Elon wrote, absolute corruption. And let's be honest, this is corruption, plain and simple. I've said it before and I'll say it again. In my opinion, Judge Kathleen McCormick is a political hack. Now, I've been on this planet long enough to know one when I see one.
Before becoming a judge in Delaware, McCormick worked as a lawyer at a law firm in Delaware called Young Conway.
And for decades, this firm and its employees were large donors to Joe Biden.
Back in 2016, Hunter Biden threw a campaign bash for Congressman John Carney at the Young Conway Law Firm in Wilmington, Delaware.
Joe Biden, who was vice president at the time, graced the event as the keynote speaker. Carney, a longtime chum of Joe Biden, spanning over 4 decades, eventually clinched the governorship and tapped Kathleen McCormick, a former partner at Young Conway, for a seat on the Delaware Chancery Court.
Fast forward to March 2018, Hunter Biden bragged in an email about his insider status with the Delaware Chancery Court judges, stating, quote, I will bring the suit in the Chancery Court in Delaware, which, as you know, is my home state, and I am privileged to have worked with and know every judge on the Chancery Court.
Paul Graham says it used to be automatic for startups to incorporate in Delaware. That will stop being the case if activist judges start overruling shareholders.
And Elon said, absolutely. She is an activist posing as a judge.
Kathy Wood says, based on her Tesla ruling, Delaware Judge McCormick is an activist judge at its worst. No judge has the right to determine CEO compensation. Shareholders voted twice, overwhelmingly each time, to ratify Elon's 2018 performance-based pay package. She will lose this fight in Supreme Court. I stand by my original response supporting Tesla and Elon.
And let's face it, this will get appealed to the Delaware Supreme Court and be overturned, in my opinion.
As to calls for Judge McCormick's removal from the bench, that's highly unlikely. There's only 3 ways to remove her. 1, impeachment. 2, the General Assembly of Delaware could vote to get rid of her, or a disciplinary action by the Delaware courts. And I just highly doubt that Delaware will do any of these.
I think that they should, though, because it's state suicide to do this. Everyone's going to move all their businesses out of Delaware, and Delaware is going to become a nothing state. Yeah. All they have right now is that, hey, we're good for business. As soon as you're not good for business, what do we need you, Delaware?
Yeah, it's so true. And a lot of other states have copied a lot of Delaware's laws over the years. So there's plenty of other states with very similar laws that lawyers know all about. Tesla said a Delaware judge just overruled a supermajority of shareholders who own Tesla and who voted twice to pay Elon what he's worth. The court's decision is wrong and we're going to appeal. This ruling, if not overturned, means that judges and plaintiff's lawyers run Delaware companies rather than their rightful owners. the shareholders.
Elon said shareholders should control company votes, not judges.
And just to reiterate for those who may have been following this case closely, this was the shareholder vote.
Is that the one back in 2018 before we knew that Elon could pull this off?
It's almost identical to the one that just happened again when they moved to Texas. Jason Calacanis says Delaware is a disgrace. We can't have the corporate standard be a kangaroo court. It's time to incorporate in Texas and Nevada. We need a movement to show them.
And Elon said, thanks, Jason.
And Jim Cramer said, boy, does that Delaware judge hate Musk. Holy cow.
Elon says she's a radical far-left activist cosplaying as a judge.
The Inner Circle Trading Group said Tesla Wedbush says one way or another, Tesla board will get Musk his pay package.
Homar's Catalog said, that's right. Elon delivered for us. Shareholders will keep their end of the deal.
And Elon said, thanks.
So we asked our patrons about whether Tesla will be successful in having the judge's decision overturned in this week's Patreon poll. We'll have the results later in the show.
And if you'd like to take part in our Patreon poll every week on the show, then please join us over on Patreon.
But, I mean, you can't be too mad at Judge McCormick because, I mean, you got to keep in mind that the lawyers of the plaintiff originally were going to be paid, what was it, $5 billion in Tesla shares?
That's what they asked for.
But now they're only going to get $300 million. So, I mean, thank goodness for judges.
I am in the wrong line of work.
Thank goodness for judges for keeping things, you know, reasonable. Of course they shouldn't be paid $5 billion, just $345 million.
In the meantime, Elon hasn't been paid anything.
Right. But screw him. He's a billionaire. Zach and I love Tesla's Sentry Cam.
Yeah, it allows you to keep an eye on your Tesla.
But what if you don't drive a Tesla?
Well, thanks to Vantru and their E360 5.2K 360-degree panoramic dash camera system, now you can see what's been happening all around your car.
Without needing to install cameras all around your car.
You just pop Vantru's 360-degree camera on your windscreen with the supplied 3M tape and plug it into your car's power port and voila! You can see everything going on around your vehicle.
And what I really like is that it's kind of like you're getting two cameras in one, because in 2 seconds, you can remove the camera from the windshield mount, click it onto this cool selfie stick, and now you've got an adventure camera.
With the Vantru E360, you don't have to worry about missing anything because you don't have to point it. It captures everything happening around you.
And when it's mounted in your vehicle, if you ever get into an accident or it detects motion while parked, it will automatically save before and after the incident.
There are so many features like voice control,
a GPS logger,
collision detection that prevents event footage from being overwritten,
handheld portrait mode,
night vision with 8 built-in infrared lights,
loop recording,
time lapse, and so much more.
Use our link in the show notes to learn more and get your Vantru E360 camera today.
Thank you to Vantru for sponsoring today's episode.
Lao Zhu on Tesla's China team posted this.
Great work by the CN team. And that is because Tesla posted the highest domestic sales in a single month this year. So November saw 73,000 vehicles sold domestically in China. That's a 12% year-over-year growth and an 82% growth over October sales of 40,000 vehicles.
I'm sorry, I don't hear the demand cliff doomsayers now. Where did you all go?
And as Tesla Asia posted, Model 3 earned top marks in both the China Electric Vehicle Fire Safety Index and the Automotive Fire Safety Certification. Just nice to see that all that negativity that we hear all the time about, oh, that's the end of sales of Tesla in China. Not true.
Car and Driver has named the Tesla Model 3 Long Range one of their top 10 best cars of the year.
Car and Driver said, Model 3 is a bargain. Its base sticker price is $44,130, but if you qualify for the federal $7,500 rebate, that drops to $36,630. That's an outstanding deal. Makes one wonder why most other automakers are losing big money on much more expensive EVs.
You wonder why?
I don't know. It's a mystery.
Maybe it's because other automakers aren't even in the same league as Tesla. Did you know that Tesla owners are notoriously hard to shop for?
I mean, they already have a Tesla, so what else could they want?
Well, have we got a unique gift idea for you.
Our friends at CNIC have made this beautiful, unique jewelry. Rings and bracelets that can unlock your Tesla.
That's right. They work just like the Tesla key card, meaning that you can wave your hand in front of your car and drive away.
I love it because I don't have to worry about my smartphone. So whether I forget to charge it or my Bluetooth is acting up, no worries. Just and I'm good to go.
And just like using a Tesla card, the car knows which driver profile you are.
Also, great during those hot summer months when you'd rather not worry about smartphones or wallets. Going to the beach? No problem.
And I think it solves that worry that some of us have. Our phones usually work so well that we get complacent, and you may not always have the Tesla key card handy.
Did I get my key card back from the valet the other day?
With your Scenic, you can put your mind at ease.
Order today, save an extra 5% off by using our link in the show notes, and I think they're doing a Black Friday sale, so you can get our discount on top of that discount.
But I don't know how much longer that one lasts, so yeah. Go check it out.
All right, so I haven't seen Tesla list a job post like this before.
What's a vehicle communications manager do?
Tesla says, as the vehicle communications manager, you will be responsible for managing all external data communication relating to vehicle programs and coordinating efforts with external media. This includes closely collaborating with technical staff on vehicle metrics, managing external vehicle data to achieve consistency and accuracy, approving website content, and enabling external media access to assess products.
So I've seen some people calling this a PR department.
I don't know. It sounds more defined than that. It seems to me that the vehicle communications manager is going to be an important position going forward with CyberCab.
Kind of taking the ball from Elon having to explain during quarterly Tesla earnings calls what's going on in the world of autonomy.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things it says in the what you'll do section of the job posting is create, manage, and control the master database of public-facing vehicle data, including vehicle performance, mass, ergonomics, drivetrain, variants, etc.
That sounds to me like Tesla understands that they're going to need someone to be constantly and consistently showing the public, including government regulators, how Tesla vehicles are performing, backed up by data, and not just Elon's statements on X. Now, under compensation here, what's the Tesla Babies program?
So what I've found out so far is the Tesla Babies program is designed to provide comprehensive support for employees who are starting or expanding their families. That includes financial assistance for family building. So you get up to $20,000 of fertility treatment. You get up to $10,000 in adoption support. There's comprehensive healthcare coverage. There's parental leave. So up to 16 weeks for moms and up to 8 weeks for dads. There's flexible work arrangements. So you can work remotely or adjust your working hours in the first year of parenthood. They have childcare support. They have health and wellness, including prenatal, postnatal, and mental health. And then there's this newborn welcome package.
Yeah, one of our patrons, Chad, who works at Tesla, told us that Tesla gives a newborn care package that includes a zero emissions onesie, socks, and a teddy bear.
Isn't that great? In addition to what looks like a really good pay package and Tesla stock and all those other good bennies. So that's a pretty cool job. But I don't think this is a PR department in the traditional sense. I think it's just public data about, I think, cyber cabs and like all that very important data that the public's going to need to know. And I just think that they understand that there's going to be a lot of data coming out about crashes and safety, and Elon may not be the only one that should be talking about it. But let us know what you think down below, and let us know if you'd like this job. So CyberCab will have the parts.
What parts?
Have the parts of the Tesla Model 3. Still don't know what I'm talking about? Okay, so Tess Alley said, some great info by an engineer who is on the robotaxi team. Check this out.
So two seats unlocks a lot of opportunity aerodynamically. It also means we cut the part count of CyberCab down by a substantial margin. We're going to be delivering a car that has roughly half the parts of Model 3 today.
Yeah, so lots of great info that came out. This is CyberCab lead engineer Eric. You can check him out on X. This event was at Santana Row in San Jose, California. So Ali learned that the Model Y body structure has about 200 parts. The CyberCab is only going to have 80. We all know that the CyberCab has two seats. And the reason for that, Eric said, was 82% of trip miles is for one or two people. So why bother putting in more seats if that's not needed for most trips? We now found out from Eric that this CyberCab is running on FSD 13. So the whole event we saw at WeRobot was FSD 13.
Okay.
No air suspension to save money. The B pillar has been moved back for easier access into the front row seat. So I didn't really think about that when I was looking at the design of the car, but if you compare it to a 3 or a Y, the B pillar is much more forward. The bench seat is a whole lot easier to clean. That makes sense. The big tires, they said they did it for looks, but also it reduces the rolling resistance. The big trunk they have in the back, we now find out that it can hold a foldable wheelchair, it can hold some bikes, and it can hold a golf bag, two carry-ons, and two big, large luggage at the same time. The screen in the CyberCab is the largest of any Tesla, and it's a 21-inch screen with the same resolution as a Model 3. And basically, he said they went for efficiency, right? Because the more efficient the car is, the lower the maintenance, the lower the weight, the lower the cost.
It's just so cool to be learning all of this new data around this new vehicle that no one has ever experienced before. I know that we have seen some like autonomous buses that are like at an airport and it takes you from the parking lot to another parking lot. This is a brand new thing.
Do or do not. There is no try.
It's so cool to think that you could own one.
It is.
I mean,
it's a weird way to think about it.
Like Teslas are the future, but this one's clearly the future because there's no pedals and no steering wheel. And there's no more shotgun.
True. Both seats are kind of the same.
I call shotgun.
I think the really interesting thing to me is that it goes back to that quote from Henry Ford, where he said, if I had asked what people wanted, they would have said faster horses. That was, of course, in reference to building like the Ford Model T. if Elon had asked what people had wanted, they
heads up display.
Right. Well, they would want, like, I want a car that's more fun to drive. And it's like, but would you though? Or do you want to just watch a movie while you go somewhere?
Right. Because that's more fun.
I think it will be. And I think that everyone who thinks like, no, I wouldn't want that, are the same people who said the exact same thing about HDTV.
Oh, I don't need that. I can see the basketball game fine.
All right, it's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw!
The Cybertruck Roundup.
So it snowed the other day.
It did. Let's see what it did to the Cybertruck.
All right, so this is something that I've wanted to test on the Cybertruck since I saw that I'm hitting a windshield button like this. We have a fresh coat of snow in the truck. I wish I could have had it snow more. I try it. But this is what we get. Sorry, Mother Nature insults to that. So first layer of snow on the truck. Big old windshield wiper. Normally, windshield wiper's got to go up. This one's got to go down. Is that one wipe pretty much uncovered everything?
I know. Not a lot of snow, but I'm hopeful that if we have more snow, you would get a similar result. It's going down. Gravity.
You've been talking about this for ages. You finally got enough snow to show it.
Not really enough snow. I wanted there to be more snow, but...
Well, you'll get your wish.
I can't control the weather.
Yet. So Tesla posted this week, here's what's coming in the 2024 Tesla holiday update.
So this should be arriving this week to Cybertruck owners as an over-the-air software update.
So first up, Tesla app on Apple Watch. So use your Apple Watch as your phone key. You can also view battery charge, open frunk, and turn on climate control. And it sounds like more features will come after that.
What took them so long?
I don't know.
That's so weird.
Save dash cam and Sentry Mode clips to your phone. So watch your dash cam and Sentry Mode clips directly from the Tesla app and save them to your phone to edit or share.
Nice.
Auto shift between drive and reverse on stockless Model 3s, because don't forget this update is going to other cars as well. Sirius XM is now available for the Model 3, Y, and Cybertruck. You can now set a preferred battery charge level for when you arrive at your destination.
Oh, yes.
Seems like a little one, but it's a big one.
It's a huge one. I hate you're like going on a long road trip and it's like, you're going to get to your destination with 15% charge. And it's like... That's a hotel that doesn't have a charger
right.
In the middle of a city.
Right.
I don't want to do that. It's like, well, then I guess you're going to have to figure it out.
Whereas sometimes you are going to a family member's who does have a charger and it's okay to be that low.
And so having the trip plan, this is so smart.
You're very smart.
Here's a good one. When navigating, search results are now filtered to show options along your route and estimated detour times.
So this would mean that if you're driving long distance, you could say like, navigate to a bathroom or navigate to a restaurant, and it'll show you off of the route. What? That's
nice
smart.
One. I appreciate that.
This one's really cool. View precipitation directly on the map to check the weather at your destination. So it's great. You can see, oh, you know what? This route's not what I want. There's going to be extra rain on this route. Let's go take this other route.
Dude,
that's so sick.
Yep.
Putting more data on top of a map makes that map so valuable. And if you can just kind of turn that on and off, oh, that's awesome.
Rear cross traffic alert. So when in reverse, your vehicle will alert you if it detects a pedestrian or vehicle crossing behind you. An audible warning will also play if a potential collision is detected. This is like been on other cars for years. I'm so glad they finally got it here. You can now personalize your Cybertruck avatar with a custom wrap and license plate. Use one of the many preloaded designs or create and upload custom ones using a USB flash drive. I'm not sure how to do it, but it says the details on template and instructions will be published via GitHub.
Oh man. So now all those wrap guys, this is going to be another service that they're going to have to offer.
Yep.
It's a lot more technical than just like,
I just sit here with a thing and I wipe it on.
Cybertruck rear camera improvements. So the rear camera feed is now larger and you can pinch to zoom in or out.
This is actually nice when you're parked and you're like waiting for someone to like come out of somewhere and you had to park somewhere weird. So you can't like obviously look behind you most of the time because the tonneau cover's closed. So you could like zoom in on the entrance and be like, okay, they're out. Let's go.
That's cool. You can also now play games from the back seat while cruising around using the Cybertruck's rear screen.
That's awesome.
Tune in radio on Tesla is now much better and still completely free with no setup needed. So that's nice if you don't want to have a Spotify account or something like that. And of course, Cybertruck Santa Mode. Santa Mode changes your Cybertruck avatar into Santa's sleigh, including reindeers, elves, and more.
Good boy.
But wait.
Is there more?
There's more. You can schedule a light show from the Tesla app. We just did this the other day. You can have two or more cars all start at the same time. So
yes,
you can.
But now you can do it from your app. So you don't have to be like, hey, do you want to see the light show? Hang on. I'm going to go get in my car all weird.
Right.
You can just be like, check this out. Boop.
Wouldn't it be cool if, like, across an entire city, if everyone decided that owned a Tesla, like, at 6:30 tonight, let's all do a light show?
Or if you just have a little thing in your app that says, like, I accept all light shows, and it won't open any of the doors or anything. It'll just perform the light show with all the sound and everything, so it won't roll down the windows. But that would mean that if anyone else is in the parking lot and they park next to you and they want to do their light show, it would enable it to any cars within a certain radius would all perform the same light show.
Oh, and I'm going to show you a light show on Patreon bonus story this week that's going to blow you away.
Okay.
Also, a new game, Boomerang Foo. Slice and dice your friends with boomerangs in this action-packed party game.
That's fun.
Fart on contact now. So you used to be able to do fart on demand and fart on turn signal. Now when they sit in the... Prank your friends with each new bum detection. Sit happens.
Wow. So it's just like a whoopee cushion. Yeah. That's hilarious.
You can now adjust passenger seats from controls. So this will allow you to control the position of unoccupied passenger seats, including second row seats, without having to reach over and adjust it.
Interesting. And the second row seats, I'm assuming that's going to be like for Model X and stuff like that, where they have the pillar seats.
Right. Maintenance summary. You can now view and track maintenance items from your vehicle's touchscreen.
That's cool.
And then a bunch of minor updates, including my favorite. When navigating to a supercharger, upon arrival, you'll be notified on the touchscreen of any stalls that are currently out of service.
That's nice, because I hate feeling like an idiot when I pull into the broken stall and I plug in and then I start to walk away and my girlfriend's like, it's not charging. And I'm like,
I'm going to have to go get in my car and pull it over to the next one.
Also, minor update that's my favorite. Find nearby parking at your destination or any point of interest. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. So lots of cool stuff there. Looking forward to that. It should be coming out all this week. So send us some videos of you doing your synced holiday light show with your friends and stuff like that. And thank you to Cybertruck Owners Club for sponsoring the show. We've been working with them for years. They're the place to go if you want to find out anything about Cybertruck, because now it's full of Cybertruck owners.
Lucid Motors posted last Thursday. Today marks an exciting landmark for our company. Production of the Lucid Gravity is now underway at our factory in Arizona.
So Lucid's Gravity order page is open with just the Grand Touring for $94,900 available now. The Gravity SUV seats up to 7 people, has a projected EPA rated range of 440 miles, up to 120 cubic feet of cargo space, up to 828 horsepower, and it ships with a Tesla NACS charge port.
Great. So, I mean, there's just $94,000. It used to be, if you wanted an electric SUV, it would cost $94,000. And not, what is a Tesla Model Y today with all the incentives?
Oh, yeah.
Depending on your state, could be as low as in the 30s.
Yeah.
Insane.
It is insane. So according to the EPA, Tesla has had the highest fuel economy of any auto manufacturer for 7 straight years.
So you're telling me that in 2015 and in 2016, Mazda had better fuel economy than Tesla? And in 2017, Honda had better fuel economy than Tesla?
Well, here's what the EPA said in that little three there. Okay. It says manufacturers below the 150,000 threshold for large manufacturers are excluded in years they did not meet the threshold.
Lame. Okay, so who had the worst fuel economy? No. Let me guess. Ford.
Well, Ford has definitely had years at the top on the worst fuel economy naughty list. But lately, that honor goes exclusively to Stellantis. And I was trying to make a Grok joke to show Elon fighting Jim Farley in a boxing match. But this is what it came up with the first time. And then I was like, that's not Jim Farley. And then this is what it gave me the second time.
More like a Chris Farley.
But yeah, it shows you that one of the problems is when you get data from like the government, they get to decide how to make the data. And I think this rule of like 150,000 threshold. Why? As we're going to see later in the show, another group picks a completely different threshold. And so you just get wrong data.
I hate this.
But basically, yeah, Stellantis, you're definitely on the naughty list.
Now, hey, what's this column for the overall vehicle with the highest fuel economy?
Well, it's just what it says.
Yeah, but the Tesla Model 3 held that title in 2020 and 2021, as it should, with over 138 miles per gallon equivalent. But then how did the Lucid Air take the title away in 2022 with only 131.4 miles per gallon equivalent? And Lucid definitely didn't sell 150,000 cars. And again, why is the Hyundai Ioniq 6 getting rated highest on 137 miles per gallon equivalent if the Model 3 is higher? How did the EPA even arrive at these numbers?
Again, EPA said vehicles are shown based on estimated real-world fuel economy as calculated for this report. These values will differ from values found on the fuel economy labels at the time of sale. For more information on fuel economy metrics, see Appendix C. Okay, let's find Appendix C. Here it is on page 163. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, methodology are detailed in Appendix D. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go to Appendix D. Look, to be honest, I read all 7 pages of Appendix D after falling asleep a couple times, and I still don't know how they came up with these numbers. Now, I'm going to call bullshit on the EPA. The more I read, the less real it seemed. It just felt phony and made up, like the authors took many liberties, and that's just my opinion. So if you have time and you want to read the 187-page report, you can see what you think. But again, this information about highest fuel economy is wicked weird.
Weird.
Or wicked weird.
I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it does.
I mean,
this is the government. This is what we're going to all believe in history from time immemorium is what they said was the most fuel efficient car. And if we go back and some kid's writing a report in 2050, the Mazda was the most fuel efficient car.
I just mean, if you're buying an electric vehicle and it's a Model 3, it's going to be the most efficient.
Yeah, but that's not what the government says.
Interesting.
It's ridiculous.
Hello, sir. May I trouble you for a moment? I'm conducting a survey of electric vehicle owners. Are you, perchance, an electric vehicle owner?
Yes, I am. I have a Model 3.
Marvelous. Okay, well, then this won't take too long. I only have 5 quick questions. Would you buy the same vehicle if you had to do it all over again, considering price?
Yes. Yeah, I think I would.
Okay, I will mark that down here in my survey answers. Okay, would you buy the same vehicle if you had to do it all over again, considering performance?
Well, I mean, I have the mid-range Model 3, so I mean, I might get the performance if I were to buy one again, if we're talking just about performance, you know.
Okay. Well, would you buy the same vehicle if you had to do it all over again, considering reliability?
Yeah.
Would you buy the same vehicle if you had to do it all over again, considering comfort?
Yes, although the Model Y would be nice. I mean, it does have a little bit more cargo space.
Okay, I'll put that down here. Would you buy the same vehicle if you had to do it all over again, considering enjoyment?
Yeah, although the Cybertruck is so much fun. If that had been available, I probably would go for that.
3 days later.
Oh, hello, sir. What a coincidence bumping into you again. I have the results of the owner satisfaction by brand survey that you were part of a few days ago.
Oh, yeah. Let me see.
As you can see, sir, for the second straight year, Rivian topped the list with a 5 out of 5.
But Tesla only got 4 out of 5? I mean, that's weird. How many people did you survey? Tesla didn't score as most satisfying in comfort? Tesla did score in the top 6 in driving, cabin storage, and ownership cost, but not at the top on usability?
Sir, that owner satisfaction reflects whether a car meets a customer's expectations. The most satisfying cars aren't necessarily the best cars on the market and vice versa.
But it says here in your own report that, quote, in order to be included in the ranking, a brand must have sufficient data for 2 or more models. The following brands don't appear in this year's ranking because of either insufficient data or a low model count. I mean, the R1S, for instance, just came out last year, and Rivian has only sold about 40,000 R1Ss. Tesla has sold millions. How many people could have taken part in the Rivian portion of the survey?
I can't reveal that information, sir. That's proprietary. Very closely guarded.
What survey is this? I mean, this sounds like a bogus survey.
It's a Consumer Reports, sir. We have
been... Yeah, I know about you. Consumer Reports gets funding from the Ford Foundation, and Marta Tellado, who is your president and CEO, they used to be a VP and board member of the Ford Foundation. Can you say conflict of interest?
It does sound like a conflict of interest.
So,
yes.
Okay, so Consumer Reports came out with this thing, and they're like, Tesla isn't the leader, it's Rivian.
Mm-hmm.
And also, many of their questions are based all around, would you buy this vehicle or another vehicle? And if you're someone who, if you're talking to a Tesla owner, they may want to buy like the performance version. They may want to buy a Model Y. If they bought a Model 3 before, they might want to buy a Cybertruck now. Lots of them might want to buy a Cybertruck. But if you bought a Rivian, and you like it, you don't really have any other choice. You're like, well, I don't need a pickup truck because I bought the R1S. So I guess I'd buy the R1S again since you can't buy the R3.
Right. Until you dive into the details of the survey, you don't realize that it's basically kind of juked to help out brands that only have a limited number of offerings.
It's so weird.
New deals on last-minute holiday finds just dropped at Lowe's. Save $600 on a Whirlpool fingerprint-resistant stainless steel side-by-side refrigerator. Plus, Milo's Rewards members save $50 on an Allen & Roth Brighton pull-down kitchen faucet. Your choice of finishes for $79. Lowe's knows deals. Offers valid 12/12 through 12/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
But wait, there's more. Rivian is working hard, keeping those customers satisfied by opening a new charging post. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Rivian is proud to announce our new Joshua Tree charging outpost.
Charging outpost? Don't you mean a 12-stall DC fast charging station?
But there's so much more. There's a lounge area where adventurers can rest, and there are amenities like snacks, coffee, and a kids' play area.
It looks like you have Rivian merch for sale, too. I guess you forgot to mention that.
The stalls are equipped with SAE J3400 plugs.
So, Tesla plugs. Cool.
As our founder and CEO, RJ Scaringe, says, to achieve widespread electrification, you also need a really good charging network.
That's not RJ. That's Steve-O from Jackass.
Now we're excited to bring the Rivian Adventure Network with its ease of use and exceptional reliability to other EV drivers around North America, investing in a future where charging on the road will be simple, sustainable, and convenient.
That's not RJ, that's Christopher Reeve.
Wait, you're saying RJ Scaringe is really Superman?
No, I'm saying that Rivian talks a good talk about charging, but while Tesla is about to open a 168-stall supercharger with solar panels and grid-scale batteries in Coalinga, California, along with dozens of other locations around the world every week, Rivian is opening a single charger station, but it's got a cool gift shop slash convenience store?
But what we have to remember is that unlike Tesla, which doesn't spend hardly anything on advertising, Rivian, in their second quarter financials, reported $500 million in selling, general, and administrative expenses. Now, even with conservative estimates, Rivian probably spent tens of millions of dollars this year on advertising. And that gets you these stories about amazing charging outposts.
There's more stories than Rivian has actual charging locations.
Alrighty then.
And they get stories about customer satisfaction surveys.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Those were the stories from February that Rivian paid for. I mean, that they sent press releases out for. These are the stories that Rivian had run for this week.
Jesus. And you know, for everyone who's like, but the charging outpost is so cool. But you know what else is cool? Tesla supercharger locations that are at Wawa convenience stores. Listen, I love Wawa. I don't even live near one, but I know what they are because I go supercharging through them. And I'm sorry, a Wawa is going to be way better than any single one of these charging outposts because—
But do they have Rivian gear?
I don't need Rivian gear. They have anything I could possibly want to eat. They have clean bathrooms. What else could I possibly want? And there's 100 of them from here all the way down to Florida. It's insane what Tesla has been able to do. And it's like, just because it's not a special Tesla outpost doesn't mean that I'm not getting exactly what I want when I go supercharging. It's just insane that Rivian could be like, we made an outpost in the middle of a fancy place that you're going to need to spend a lot of money to go to, when Tesla can just slew the entire eastern seaboard and western seaboard and the entire, just pull up a map of superchargers. You will see that you can go anywhere in the entire world practically on Tesla superchargers, And yet I'm supposed to be impressed by like a 12 stall in Joshua Tree?
They have little info packets about the plants around the...
And yet they're going to spend all this money that they could have spent on a charging network just telling you about their stupid, like, it's a fun outpost. And I'm sure it's fun. But again, I don't care.
So Elon was on Capitol Hill on Thursday, along with Little X, holding an apple.
They were meeting with members of Congress about DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency.
DOGE designer says breaking, Elon Musk brought his son Little X with him to Capitol Hill today.
And Elon says Little X is tough as nails.
And he went on to say, teach him young, Little X is having a great time. There's so many great memes of like, Little X points you, you're fired. And then Elon put up this meme, the DOGE father and the DOGE son, DOGE and mini DOGE. All right, it's time for SpaceX news, and guess what? Jared Isaacman, the commander of the last two commercial SpaceX Dragon missions, was named last Wednesday by President-elect Trump to be the next NASA administrator.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jared Isaacman from Inspiration 4?
Yes. The commander of the mission that just did the first commercial spacewalk.
Wow!
He's going to be the head of NASA.
He's going to be the head of NASA!
Yeah, Elon said, congratulations, and he is a man of high ability and integrity.
Yeah, I mean, Jared commanded the groundbreaking Inspiration 4 mission aboard SpaceX's Crew Dragon. He also made history earlier this year by completing the first private spacewalk. So if you haven't already watched the Netflix Countdown Inspiration 4 Mission to Space documentary, you definitely need to put that at the top of your list. When else do you get to see a whole documentary about the NASA administrator?
But is he as qualified as the congressman that is the current administrator?
What do you mean?
I just love how the political pundits are like, is he qualified though? The guy who's in charge now was just a congressman before. Like, it was a political appointment. This guy has actually been to space. He's commanded missions. He owns companies. He owns a defense contracting company. Like, he knows what he's doing.
He stepped down from his companies to be the NASA administrator.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to have him as our NASA administrator. We're going to enter a brand new realm of space. I mean, because it has been Elon Musk pushing and fighting as hard as he can. And then it's been NASA and they've been like, no.
I mean, do we have to go back to the moon?
I don't know. I mean, we'll ask ULA if we can go back to the moon, and they will, they'll say sure.
ULA, when can we go to the moon?
Oh, you want to spend billions of dollars? Sure, we'll go to the moon whenever you want. Plus or minus 50 years. I don't know, whatever. However long it takes for the eggheads down at the plant to decide what bolt to use.
Astronaut Don Pettit, who is in space on his third mission, saw this. Cosmic fireflies. Actually, these are Starlink satellites momentarily flashing sunlight towards the space station.
And Michael Nichols, VP of Starlink Engineering, said, incredible video. A key part of Starlink brightness mitigation is off-pointing near the solar terminator to reflect scattered sunlight away from the Earth.
But I like seeing satellites.
Elon Musk reposted this from Aviation, the Falcon 9 launch view from the cockpit at FL340.
Wow, you can be that close to a launch? That's awesome.
The ISS posted, when the stars and Dragon align, the Milky Way appears in the vastness of space behind the dock SpaceX Dragon crew spacecraft as the space station soars into an orbital sunrise. And SpaceX posted that Flight 7 Super Heavy booster has been moved to the pad at Starbase for testing.
That's fast. I mean, we just had Flight 6 like a week or two ago.
Yeah, supposed to be, I think, mid-January for the next flight.
That's awesome.
SpaceX VP of Launch, Kiko Donchev, said this mission set a new record. The SpaceX recovery team completed the fastest ever landing to landing of any of our drone ships at just over 91 hours. A shortfall of gravitas, that's the name of the drone ship, traveled over 600 nautical miles in that time and only spent 3 hours at port dropping a booster off. Well done, recovery team.
Because normally we talk about like, oh, between like a launch and landing or between a launch and then another launch, but this is between catching a booster, bringing it back, going back out and catching another booster.
Yeah. And Elon said,
nice.
All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
Not too late to get a great Christmas gift for somebody this year. Both men and women can shave.
It's true.
Don't know if you knew that, but this does make a really great gift, especially for the eco-conscious, because all of the blades are entirely recyclable instead of being, you know, molded in with plastic and stuff like that. Plus, the blades are dirt cheap. You can get 100 blades for free if you use our code at checkout. Escape into the future. xAI's Colossus supercomputer in Memphis, Tennessee, which was built in just 4 months using 200,000 GPUs, is now about to grow to 1 million GPUs.
1 million!
Now, I think for a lot of us who don't know much about supercomputers, we kind of think like, oh, well, if you spend enough money, you can build as big a supercomputer as you want. But the thing is, Meta and Microsoft and all the big companies have been trying to build supercomputers for years. And what's amazing about what Elon did was those companies like Meta and Microsoft seem to be telling everyone that 30 30,000 H100s was the limit because all those GPUs have to talk to every other GPU, and wiring that all up and making them talk in real time is kind of difficult. So they all thought Elon was crazy when he said that he'd have 100,000 of these, let alone 200,000. But it turns out he figured out how to do it. And that means he's the only one who has this. So these other companies don't really want to talk about that. But Elon now has the most powerful supercomputer, and it's only getting bigger. And then XAI got priority access to NVIDIA's next big release, which is going to be the GB200, also called the Blackwell. And the reason for that was because Elon reached out to Hensin Wang of NVIDIA personally and said, hey, can you reserve $1.08 billion worth of them for me? And Hensin Wang said, yes. And so those should be arriving in January. And as Elon said, he's hopefully going to be putting a million of those into this facility.
So I just want to take a step back here. So when you make a supercomputer cluster, you have all of these different components. It's not like you're just a big chip. Right. It's in this case, hundreds of thousands of GPUs.
Yeah, there's eight GPUs in each of those H100s.
And each of them needs to know what the other ones are doing so they don't all do the same work. It's kind of like if you were to build a pyramid all at the same time, you wouldn't want to get to the top of the pyramid and be like, oh, this block is supposed to go here, and you move the same block. Now what are we going to do? So you can't just like say like go to all these little chips or whatever. You have to know what they're all doing.
Exactly.
And when it gets to the point where you're over 30,000 of them, people thought that that was impossible.
They thought that was the limit. Yeah, and we're about to find out. Hopefully in January or February, Grok 3 should be ready, and that'll tell us whether Elon might have the most powerful LLM. Anyway, Elon said it's a start, but still peanuts on the Kardashev scale. And then in response to someone saying, is he going to stop at a million? He said, nope, at least a billion GPUs.
100 billion.
Just trying to get a measly 1% completion of a puny Kardashev type 1 civilization. And Ian Miles Chong says, why not a trillion? And Elon said, brilliant idea.
Wow.
So we don't know what the limit is. It seems like Elon will be the one to find out.
So on Saturday, Grok, XAI's LLM, got a new image generator called Aurora. So remember how in the past few weeks, we haven't been able to get an accurate AI drawing of a Cybertruck? Well, check this out.
I mean, those are photos of Cybertruck, but
no, those are AI generated by Grok with Aurora.
Well, can it draw a Tesla semi-truck?
Here you go.
Oh.
Now, Zach and I have not got access to the Aurora image thing, so when we tell it to draw a Cybertruck, it just draws like a truck.
Hopefully this week we'll be getting it. Yeah, here's another one of Starship that someone had drawn. And Elon said, this is our internal image generation system, still in beta, but it will improve fast. Wow. Because, I mean, you know, we're in kind of this business and we check out a lot of the different brands. And like up until now, pretty much Midjourney has been one of the best. And I would say that we're getting to the point where this might knock it off its throne.
And if it does, if Grok can beat Midjourney, Midjourney is not cheap, by the way. It's very expensive to have a Midjourney account and to spend money to actually generate these pictures. I'm not saying it's more expensive than paying a human to generate images. But when X can take all of their lunch, it's going to be a pretty big boon for X.
Yeah, I mean, you can get an X premium account cheaper than just having a Midjourney account. And with that, you get all of the other stuff that X has.
Yeah, so pretty smart.
All right, it's time for Going Green. So this new school that's being built here, the Maplewood Intermediate Middle School in Menasha, Wisconsin, is going to be including this as part of the construction.
Oh, nice. Solar panels on the roof.
Not just that. They're going to have a PV system and a battery system that'll power the needs of the school. And we're talking 1,000 students in the school. And what's really cool is that, I mean, this school costs a lot to build, $55.5 million, but it's going to save $190,000 a year in energy costs.
Just by having the solar and batteries on the roof.
Yeah. Because, I mean, all that space on the roof was going to be wasted anyway. Go look at your local school. If it was built anytime recently, it's flat, and it probably has nothing on it other than a few condenser units.
And it's not like we need that space on the roof because like, oh, the astronomy club. No, they don't have that. So $190,000 a year, how many teachers is that?
Right.
That's like three, maybe four teachers. And if the power goes out, let's say in the middle of a school day, you keep the lights on, you keep all the kids nice and warm and safe and learning. But also if the town gets hit by some kind of terrible weather event where the power goes out, you're going to have solar on the roof and batteries somewhere on property. And that's going to keep that building warm, safe, the lights on, refrigerators running. That could basically support the community if they needed to use it as an emergency shelter.
Yeah, just put a Starlink on the roof and you won't lose internet either.
Dude, I know that you're probably finalizing your Christmas shopping. Consider the EV Jekt.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of emergencies, right? If you go to charge and you see something sketchy, you can't drive away. But with the EV Eject, you can.
Right. So normally, you're charging. Oh, no, there's a bear coming out of the woods. You're going to have to get out of your car.
Say, hello, Mr. Bear.
Hello, Mr. Bear. Unplug your car. And you'd have to, like, press the button and, like, wait the 2 seconds while the bear's charging. You're like, ah! And then you'd have to unplug, run back into your car, put it in drive, and drive away. With the escape connector, you never need to even leave your car. You simply stop charging, put the car in drive, and drive away. So this will split in half. You see both halves here. One side will stay on the charger, so it'll actually protect the handle. And the other side will stay in your car as you speed away from whatever's chasing you. And this is going to make charging a whole lot safer. So when you pull into that charging spot and it's dark and it's scary out or it feels a little sketchy, simply pop this in. It's a great gift because you can get it for your mom, you can get it for your dad, you can get it for your sister. And if you use our code NYK, you can save even more. So head on over to evjack.com and go get one of these today. It makes a great gift.
All right, it's time for sunspots.
Is the title of this story Solar Trains and Batteries?
Yeah, I was trying to do a takeoff of the Steve Martin, John Candy movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
So how do trains fit with solar and batteries?
Well, a company called SunTrain cites this 2023 U.S. Department of Energy study that said that the U.S. will have to double our current transmission network by 2040 to meet projected demand of 115,000 gigawatt hours of electricity. So SunTrain's idea is that instead of running mile-long trains full of coal to burn in a power plant, why not fill up those train cars with batteries full of energy from sunny states? SunTrain says, while the transmission grid is already close to capacity, the railroad grid is not. SunTrain can move gigawatt hours of renewable energy. A single SunTrain can deliver the energy of 2 nuclear power plants operating for an hour across the existing rail network to where and when it is needed.
So you have a train and you fill it with batteries and you charge the batteries and you drive it somewhere else and you discharge the batteries instead of just having a wire?
Right, because that's a big expense. It sounds simple, like a wire, but it actually takes decades to build.
I mean, this sounds good in theory, I guess, but have they actually done it?
Well, they completed their first test with 750 kilowatt hours of batteries, pretty tiny compared to the 1.9 gigawatt hours, 100 car train that they'll eventually want to run.
What are the next steps? I mean, this sounds really expensive to get off the ground.
Well, yeah, trains aren't cheap. Their next step is to test a 20 car train with 384 megawatt hours of batteries to run from a former coal plant to another former coal plant 125 miles away, where they will connect the batteries and power the grid. SunTrain is applying for a grant from the DOE's ARPA-E program to help cover the cost of the $125 million pilot project.
So I see that SunTrain has launched a crowdfunding campaign on Republic to raise money for this pilot program as well.
Yeah, I saw that. We're reaching out to SunTrain to learn more directly from them. And if all goes well, we'll be able to bring that to you.
What? This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Build a wire.
I agree with you. It's just that if you've looked at some of these projects, and hopefully with the new administration, we'll be able to cut the... It's mainly paperwork that keeps these projects from getting built. But right. Transmission lines are notoriously... They take so long to build. So I guess this is like a, you know...
Symptom. This is a symptom of a problem. As soon as it's like, oh, it's cheaper to build a train full of batteries, you're in trouble.
Yep, no, that's a good point.
Build a wire. I'm sorry. What the fuck?
But you know what is much faster than that and much cheaper is putting solar and batteries in your house. So if you'd like to become your own small energy provider, talk to our friends at EnergyPal. They're the solar and battery experts. They can help you go solar for less. The link is down below. Let them know that Zach and Jesse sent you. All right, it's time for our video contributor stories of the week. What do we got this week?
Check out what Tony's got.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. This is Tony in California at the end of a long weekend road trip here, showing off a new piece of gear that I have. This is the Camper Kit Lite from a company called Frubel. And this is basically a storage drawer that gives you this 4-inch tall drawer that's designed to be just tall enough to accommodate most of your propane camping stoves or even an induction cooktop. And it has these gaps here in the back so that if you had an induction cooktop or if you had like a pump with your water, you could run those lines through here to access your battery that you might store somewhere else in the car. And the thing that I really like about this is it's a piece of kit that enhances your camping experience, but is designed to be useful in normal ordinary everyday circumstances. So you've got this great drawer here where you could put a lot of different stuff, whether it's your camping gear or if, say, you're in a trade, like maybe you're an electrician, you could put tools in here. You can still access your sub trunk. And then if we come around onto the rear doors of the vehicle, you'll see that with your chairs up, you still got seating space. And just like an ordinary vehicle, but then when you fold these down, you have access to that sub trunk space, that second sub trunk space, mid sub trunk space, that's normally so short you can't put stuff in it, but the camper kit light gives you an extra 4 inches of height. So this actually becomes a useful compartment. I've got pillows and stuff here. And then if you wanted to sleep in this, you've got one more piece. That's these four boards that are also tailored to fit into your Tesla. Sit on your seat back like that. Then you take your two subtrunk covers. These are the stock subtrunk covers that came with your Model Y from the factory. You lay them out like so. And you've got a continuous flat surface for laying out your mattress. And this gets rid of that little bit of slope that you have when you just lay on your seats normally, while also giving you some really good cargo space. And this is me and my wife's first trip using this car camper light, so we're still figuring out and optimizing exactly what we're going to store in it and how we're going to use it. But thus far, I've really enjoyed it. I believe Jimmy sells these on his site, Frugal. But if you're a DIYer, I believe he also makes the plans available. So if you have access to the tools and the skill set, you could make one of these yourself. And I've really enjoyed this first use case of it. I'm looking forward to using it for years to come. I hope you guys find this interesting. Now you know.
Wow, thank you, Tony. That was Frugal.
That's really cool.
I feel like that's going to be a new verb.
Let me Frugal that real quick.
That's really neat. I didn't know you could use your stock. I was wondering how he was going to cover that last little piece, but that's with your stock pieces that already came with your car.
Yeah, I think that's really clever.
That's really clever. Yeah. I can't wait to see how he enjoys his trip on it. That's wow. Thanks a lot, Tony.
And if you're like, hey, I could do a story like that, we need your stories. Remember, 2 minutes or less, shoot them in landscape with good audio and no music. Send them to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com.
All right, time for our Patreon bonus stories. By the way, we're having a live stream with you wonderful patrons on Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you head on over to Patreon, not just for the bonus stories this week, but also to sign up to make sure you're at that level so that you can join us. Because that live stream isn't just us talking at you. It's us talking with you.
It's a Zoom call. That's
right.
You can actually join us. You can talk to us. You can ask us questions, whatever you want. Yeah, we'll be on there for our patrons. We'll see you over there. Also, this week, we've got our Investor Club bonus stories for our Investor Club members. So head on over to patreon.com/nowyouknow to support us. Keep independent journalism strong and get all of these Patreon bonus stories.
All right, we're back from Patreon bonus stories. It's time for the poll.
We asked, will Tesla be successful in having Judge McCormick's ruling overturned?
Overwhelmingly, they say yes. So hopefully a lot of lawyers in our group that know what they're talking about. All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the week. And Paul Thacker said, hey, DC guys, if you want to try and influence Elon, he's right here on X. Join the crowd.
Elon said, I will do my best to respond to well-reasoned arguments here on X for serving the best interests of the American people. However, any real or de facto offers of money, power, or threats will obviously be silly and ineffective.
John Ehrlichman posted, average cost for 1 gigabyte of storage went from $438,000 when I was born to a penny.
And Elon said, cost of AI is similar.
Ars Technica put out this story about Falcon 9 reaches a flight rate 30 times higher than the shuttle at 1/100th the cost. And Elon reposted it.
Wow.
Vivek Ramaswamy says most government projects should come with a clear expiration date. That's why we set one for Doge, July 4th, 2026.
Elon said the final step of Doge is to delete itself.
Elon said less government means more power to the people. Department of Government Efficiency said in 2023 alone, illegal immigration cost taxpayers $150.7 billion. To put this in context, with other costs adjusted for inflation, World War I, $334 billion. Apollo space program, $257 billion. Manhattan Project, $30 billion. Panama Canal, $15 billion. Hoover Dam, $1
billion. Elon said the scale of spending on illegal immigration boggles the mind. That's adjusted for inflation?
Yeah.
Damn, war's cheap, huh?
Elon responded to the number of pages of regulations in Idaho's administrative code. See that dip? They passed a law where they started getting rid of regulations back in 2018. And Elon said, wow.
Wow.
Can't be done. Sean McGuire says, didn't every single long vote count go towards the Democrats? At least one of which had ballots disappear.
Elon says, must be a coincidence.
Elon responded to this meme, the only time anyone should watch the news is to study how psychological manipulation works on the general public.
And he said, true.
Mario said, ACLU, we must protect trans kids' rights to transition care. Supreme Court will decide if Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming care for minors is legal.
Elon said, sterilizing minor children before the age of consent is deeply wrong, and many who had surgery now greatly regret it. And then Elon said, defund the ACLU.
Elon then was talking about the massive waste in healthcare spending. Look at that. Look at how much is spent on different parts, like operational
waste. You got to administrate. Everybody knows that's the life-saving part of any operation is the administrative part.
Wasteful healthcare spending can reach up to $935 billion a year. That's almost $1 trillion a year. He also commented on tax complexity looks like a rocket going to the moon. John Ehrlichman also posted about the U.S. government spending on contracts.
And Elon said 50% increase in government contract expenditures in only 6 years.
Scott Manley says, given that Trump really likes to publicly reverse course on decisions of prior administrations, someone should tell him about the current end of life plan for ISS and how he could save the most expensive thing built by humans.
Elon said the ISS requires a lot of care and feeding. Time to say goodbye and move on to the moon and Mars. I still think that they should deorbit it in sections and then, you know, we get to have the place where people were up in space, but you have it in like museums all around the world.
Oh, like save it. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool. Fun? You know,
can you like, do that?
Well, with Starship.
Capture it.
I mean, a lot of them got up with the space shuttle, which had a bay. And if you had a Starship with a bay, it could that's re-land. I'm not saying it's
we could auction the
easy.
Parts.
We could auction the parts. But I just think like a lot of these modules were built by countries.
Yeah.
Send the modules back to the countries. Have kids go visit the modules that were built and had astronauts in them. It's so cool.
Elon said, this is a big part of the reason your children are not getting a good education. And this is the growth in administrative staff, principals, teachers, and students in U.S. public schools.
Again, administration's so important. You know, when you're teaching somebody, it really matters who's above them.
The teachers and students are the little blue.
Yeah, line. It went down. You don't, who cares?
Elon says if you exclude security guards and maintenance personnel, the number of government workers who show up in person and do 40 hours of work a week is closer to 1%. Almost no one. Literally thousands of empty buildings, not just in America, but around the world, paid for with your tax dollars. It's funny how I've been watching a lot of people in Congress this past few weeks being like, yeah, we got a cut stuff. It's like, where the hell have you been up until now?
And then Elon said, entropy is the ultimate boss battle. But whatever happens, don't let it ruin your day.
And then he posted Doge taking over. Amjad said, Tesla FSD has gotten so good, I basically stopped driving. I just don't know what to do with my hands now. Ashok Alaswamy posted,
this isn't even my final form from Dragon Ball. That's funny. And then Elon said, not even close to final form.
Elon said, even my competitors know I will not use the system against them. And he said, to improve the true economy, which is output of useful products and services, we need to shift people from low to negative productivity jobs in government to high productivity jobs in the private sector. This is what really matters at a fundamental level. The former Attorney General Eric Holder says, I'm tired of the word billionaire, and even more tired of them, and tired of the increasingly accepted notion that they have some special skills or insight simply because they know how to legitimately, illegitimately accumulate money. They ain't all that.
And Elon says, little Eric here suffers from a classic case of the zero-sum game fallacy. The reality is that creating a trillion-dollar company from nothing generates wealth for millions of people. And the reason the company is worth so much is that it makes great products and services that people love. There should be more of this, not less. Eric, on the other hand, has never created anything. He's a taker, not a maker.
Ooh.
Yeah.
James O'Keefe says, name someone who cannot be bought.
And Elon said, me.
Elon said, if the product is special enough, no logo is needed. All right, it's time for Community Mail Time.
Community Mail Time.
Remember, you can share your stories, photos, and videos with us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. All right, what do we got this week?
Han had this BYD for an Uber in Lagos, Portugal.
Charles saw this new Tesla Semi factory in Nevada.
Look at all those semi trucks.
And a Tesla Semi with a weird roof. Is that a sleeper?
I don't think so, but yeah, it's got its roof off. It's interesting. Raymond got us this picture. This is a 25-stall supercharger at the Hard Rock Hotel in Florida.
Nice.
I didn't know they made a building shaped like a guitar.
Hey, Why not? Fabio got this picture in Australia.
So we got a fully electric van and a not fully electric van. Lewis got these shots of a Chevy BrightDrop Walmart truck delivering stuff.
Miranda got this picture of a Cybertruck in New Orleans. Almost looks gold.
I know. Philip spotted this Gigabus advertising working at Giga Berlin. So this is outside of Giga Berlin. It's picking up people.
Oh, this is going to the factory.
I think so. And yeah, you see the Giga on the front and then it says Giga Factory on the back.
Max spotted all of these at the Tucson Delivery Center.
Nice. Thought that there was like 1,000 there. David spotted this Cybertruck.
Andrew spotted the Cybercab in New York City with no wheel covers.
So it was being delivered to the NYC showroom.
It was delivering itself.
Well, no, there's actually a guy in the front seat. So I don't know what he was doing.
Maybe he's just riding it.
He could be. It was interesting to see it without the wheel covers. The next day, Elle got these pictures of the Cybercab in the showroom. So that was literally later that day. And we get the wheel covers back on. So
interesting.
So those are wheel covers, surprise, surprise. And they're removable. Or at least you can glue them back on. I don't know which.
And Svetlin spotted this Cybercab in London.
And Brian got these pictures in Bellevue, Washington of a Cybercab.
They're popping up all over the place.
And Christopher spotted this one at the Peterson Museum. So yeah,
nice.
The Cybercab is in buildings.
Do you think
soon,
it'll be car of the year?
When it starts delivering people? Maybe.
I mean, this is going to break most of the car magazines, don't
right.
you think?
It doesn't fit. It's not a car. It's a delivery device for humans.
Best car to sleep in.
Yeah, this is literally, it doesn't make any sense for a normal car. Because normally it's like, this car exudes your own personality and it lets everyone know that you're a dickhead. This one, you're just asleep.
Yeah.
You're watching a movie.
All right, let's see what we got for the EV tip of the week.
Alan sent us this great tip of the week about brake burnishing. Check this out.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. Alan Johnson here with your EV tip of the week about brake burnishing. This is a process that cleans the rust off your rotors. As you and many of your viewers already know, if you don't use your friction brakes much, rust will build up on the rotors over time. Now, Tesla and hopefully other EV manufacturers have figured out to use higher quality rotors because redundant braking makes your friction brakes much less active. So the rust won't build up as fast as if you leave an ICE car, typical ICE car, undriven for a while, but it does happen. For example, after almost 3 years, my Model Y failed inspection for the first time because of this. So I contacted Tesla service. They said the brakes had never been burnished before and recommended that before a brake job. Of course, if they're very rusty, then it won't be sufficient to do this, but luckily for me, the trick worked and saved me about $1,500. If you do a lot of hard braking or drive on a full battery a lot, this might not be necessary, but it's a good idea to do it at least once a year. Doing it a few days before an inspection might be a good way to remember. If you live in an area like we do where they put salt on the roads in the winter, twice a year is probably a good idea. I'm going to do it whenever I get my winter tires swapped on and off, and that should keep them clean and ready to go. You can see here that it is one of the DIY maintenance items that Tesla suggests, and it should work on just about any EV. So if you have a non-Tesla EV, maybe pause here to read the instructions, or just go search for it on the do-it-yourself area in the service.tesla.com. But if you do have a Tesla, then you don't need to worry about any of this because there's actually a guided brake burnishing process in service mode. If you sign up for the free subscription at service.tesla.com as a Tesla owner, you can get the service guide, which tells you how to get into service mode and loosely refers to the brake burnishing without telling you exactly where it is. So I'll show you how to access both to save you time. Service mode is hidden not in the service menu, but in the software menu. Just press and hold on the vehicle description for a few seconds. You get a little flash that you might not have been able to see on the video, but you let go and you should get a password prompt. If not, go back, try it again and press a little longer. Password is just service, not the biggest secret in the world. And then you get this warning, which you should read and heed. Service mode is a very sharp knife, so be careful in here. Some of the settings in here can void your warranty, even make your car unsafe. So don't play around with changing things. It's safe to click around and look at all the things you can look at. And it's kind of fun to see all the different stuff, but just don't change any settings and you'll be fine. I found several videos online that seem to be out of date. They show the full process, so they might be worth watching, but they show the brake burnishing button here. At some point, Tesla moved it under chassis, brakes, brake burnishing. Of course, read and heed the warnings. The process is pretty straightforward. Spend some time reading the warnings, the description, and the instructions before you try to begin the process and get it on the road. Be aware that as soon as you go into this mode, the car is going to go into chill acceleration and redundant braking is completely turned off. So make sure you are pulled off at a place where you can get a feel for this without any other traffic or obstacles before you continue with the process. It's not entirely different than jumping behind the wheel of a car you haven't driven before, but it's significant. So play around with it before you proceed. Once you've read the instructions carefully, these bars will make sense. The top bar shows how hard you're pushing on the brake pedal and it turns green when you have pressed hard enough, it stays red, and then it gets the first part turns green. If you go too far, it turns red again. Similarly, this speed bar will be red until it fills up to about 48 miles per hour, at which point it'll chime and turn green. At that point, you want to make sure there's nobody behind you. You're not coming up into a curve, and then start pressing on the brake pedal. Get it between those two bars quickly and keep it there until the speed gets down to about 10 miles an hour. You'll hear another chime, at which point you take off the brake and drive normally. And the cool down will fill up with blue and start counting down 25 seconds. After that, if you did everything right, the cycle count will increase. You'll get a little bit of blue here. And you just repeat that process 9 more times until you're done and your brakes are burnished. At that point, pull over, exit the guide, put the car in park, and then you can exit service mode. Back on the main screen here, just press and hold here where it says exit service mode until it fills up gray and let go. And a few seconds later, your car will be ready to drive just like normal again. Now, you're not going to be slamming on the brakes here, but if somebody's behind you and not paying attention or following too close, there could be trouble. At the very least, you're going to annoy and confuse anyone behind you. So make sure the road is clear back there first. So that leads me to one final tip. Just to help you avoid something that's mildly annoying is when you're in the guided mode, if you have to put the car into reverse for some reason, you lose the guided mode, you put it back in drive, it's gone. You can get back into it in service. There's no brake burnishing button until you put it back in park. Then you can go back into the brake burnishing mode, but your progress has been lost. So it's not a huge deal. You can just start over. It doesn't hurt to do a few more cycles or just do as many as you had left, if you remember how many you had left. But to avoid that, use a pull off or parking lot that lets you turn around without reversing when you're getting out of the way and letting cars pass you. Remember, be polite, make sure, and safe. Make sure no one's behind you. Of course, you know, you want to make sure the roads are clear and it's not raining. Just, you know, be smart about it. Don't want to be braking hard unnecessarily in bad conditions. And the only downside of this is it does wear your brake pads a little bit, but that's exactly what they're designed for, and they are way cheaper and easier to replace than rotors. So hopefully that helps us all keep our brakes in good shape so that they're when we need them. And now you know.
He didn't pass his inspection because his brakes were too rusty.
He's just such a good driver that he's been using regen so well.
I mean, I get that for ICE cars. If it's rusty, there must be a problem, right? But like with an electric vehicle, you think the mechanics would know that's not a big deal.
It's interesting because you do need to use the brakes in order to rub the rust off of your rotors.
But comment down below whether you'd have the guts to actually go into this mode and turn off your regenerative braking.
I think all you have to do is just drive a little bit more aggressively. Just like 4% of the time, you just go like, I'm going to go a little quicker and then I'll actually use the physical brakes.
Yeah, do it when you're like getting off the highway onto an exit or something.
Maybe. Know? Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Alan. And do we have any beautiful superchargers this week?
We do. Well, this may not be a supercharger.
Okay.
But look where it is. It's in Dunalley, Tasmania.
Wow.
I think it's important that we realize that EVs are truly in almost every corner of the globe.
That's definitely a corner if I've ever seen one. Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful. Thank you.
It's literally at the corner of Tasmania.
Thank you for sending those in.
That's so great.
All right, it's time for Supercharger Reviews. Let's see what people have found out there in the world of superchargers.
Hello, Zach and Jesse. This is Rom here in the UK. I am at a very new 4V3 stall site in Stevenage near London, Hertfordshire, to the north of London. Here, bearing in mind that in Europe, all the cars have CCS charge ports. The same charge port that is used by Tesla is used by almost everybody else here. We have a service station covered, accessible for everybody. Now I'm going to show you a little bit inside. A shop area under development, which is going to use the Amazon method of signing in with a credit card or debit card and then going to shop as you want to. Upstairs we have meeting area, loos and everything else, and we have a coffee shop here. So what we in fact have is the best way you could possibly imagine of stopping to charge your car. I think we'll have to give this site a 9 out of 10. Even though it's just at its soft opening and we haven't got all the facilities working just yet, the future of electric motoring is here. Now you know.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. We're here in Traverse City, Michigan, at a Tesla 10 stall, 150 kilowatt in the Myers parking lot. It is a gigantic Myers, but there's absolutely nothing around here. I'd spin around, but there's nothing to see. So I'm going to give it a 4. Now you know.
Hey there, Zach and Jesse. I am at the Johnstown, Colorado Supercharger. And really, that's all you need to know right there. 11 stalls here and a Buc-ee's. 10 out of 10. Now you know.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. We are in Springfield, Missouri at Bucky's, and we are charging at one of the 16 V4 superchargers. And a really cool thing about these superchargers is that you get the Tesla, but you also, when you push up with it and then go out, you get a CCS charger. Another really cool thing, I'd take this out real. You have a key scanner if you don't have the Tesla app. So this is so cool. I love these. I give it 11 out of 10.
Thank you so much for doing supercharger reviews. If you want to, you can check out our website where we have a map that has all the supercharger reviews on there, and you can upload your own. So be sure to do that.
All right, what do we got for new superchargers?
Number 142 in Norway is the 20-stall version 4 in Jessheim, Norway.
Number 165 in South Korea is the 8-stall in Gimhae, South Korea.
The 4-stall version 4 in Dunagon, UK.
Number 62 in Georgia is the 12-stall in Helen, Georgia.
An expansion from 12 to 24 stalls in Orebro, Sweden.
The 12-stall version 4 in Jacksonville, Florida.
An expansion from 16 to 32 stalls is the version 3 and 4 in Lira, Norway.
Number 178 in Florida is the 12-stall version 4 in Naples, Florida.
The 10-stall version 4 on the Move supercharger in Wakefield, UK.
Number 231 in Germany is the 8-stall version 4 in Saarbrücken, Germany.
Number 43 in Austria is the 8-stall version 4 in Wels, Austria.
We have the 12-stall version 4 in Birch, westbound UK.
The 16-stall version 4 in San Diego, California.
Number 70 in Washington is the 12-stall version 4 in Vancouver, Washington.
Number 77 in Spain is the 8-stall version 4 in Benbire, Spain.
Number 2,157 in China is the 3-stall version 3 in Goigang, China.
Number 26 in Thailand is the 4-stall in Chonburi, Thailand.
Number 519 in California. Number 2,491 in the U.S. is the 12-stall version 4 in San Diego.
Number 1 in the Philippines, the first one in the Philippines, the 4-stall version 4 in Taegu.
Number 168 in the U.K. is the 20-stall version 3 in Michaelwood, southbound U.K.
And number 9 in Ireland, number 1,338 in Europe, and 6,883 in the world is the 4-stall version 4 in Tralee, Ireland. Man, do you think that we're going to hit 7,000 superchargers by the end of the year? About 200 off?
Maybe.
We're not going 200 a week. But
you know what's funny is that there's all this press about, you know, Rivian built a charger somewhere. And it's like, good for them. I'm not trying to take away from that.
Yeah, it looks
and,
great.
And, you know, there's a lot of press this week about EVgo building some new ones. Great. I'm not against that. It's just that there's no press ever, never, ever about Tesla doing anything, especially since they're doing so many. I mean, you see them every week on the show. Has there been a week where we go, oh, no supercharger this week? No. Every week they're expanding, building new ones, big ones, all over the place, places that people need them. It's an amazing network. So amazing that people who don't drive Teslas just don't really get it. And that's the part that just blows my mind. It's like they've been doing this for years, and yet there's just Zippo press about it.
It would be like if the iPhone came out and nobody talked about it. And some people had the iPhone. They're like, look at this.
Well,
thing.
And if people were like, can you charge it? Yeah. Where do I charge it? And you're like, yeah,
I know.
All over the place.
I know. It's crazy.
So you have to go out there and tell your friends. I mean, if you have a car with FSD or just, you know, find someone who has one, go check it out yourself so that you know what you're talking about. And then tell everyone, because obviously, for some reason, the news isn't telling people. And this is like the most amazing stuff going on the planet. Thank you so much to all these people here for supporting us. We couldn't do the show every week and tell you about all this cool stuff with rockets and cars if it weren't for you. So thank you, patrons. Thank you.
We'll see you guys next week. Now you know.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.